We're going to read this evening from 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. And that's on page 1151. 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 1 to 17. Let's read God's word. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving, for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf. We, who are many, are one body. For we all share the one loaf. Amen. And may the Lord bless to us these words that we read from the Bible, and may bless us as we look to open them up and to reflect on them in a few moments' time. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. And keep it open if you can. One of our elders, Ian McGilvery, this morning was telling us all about how over the summer we have enjoyed at our Wednesday evening church nights, church gatherings. We've been looking at the one another's of the New Testament. And tonight we get to share in the Lord's Supper with one another. This is what Christ has commanded us to do for those of us who commonly share in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, going into Corinthians here, both letters, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, were written to a church in disarray, with the Christians there living double lives with wrong priorities. And chapter 10, as we read it there, starts off with a warning about idolatry. That's a theme that we've been looking at quite a lot recently, looking through the story of Gideon and many other ways. But the writer, Paul, has been building towards a conclusion that he assumes that the Christian church in Corinth already know the answer to. I mean, he poses it here in verse 16 and 17. He poses it like a question that they should already know the answer to. And it's a conclusion that God wants us to understand too. And that conclusion is that they are participating with Christ and with each other as one body, sharing this one loaf, meal, supper, that they're in it with Jesus and that they're in it with each other. So, first of all, I want to focus on one Christ. Because with that warning over wrong priorities, Paul now reminds us what we should prioritize, who we should put as number one in our hearts and in our lives. So he points us to the thing in the life of the Christian and in the life of the church that visually displays that priority. And he points here to the Lord's Supper. Verse 16, is this not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks? A participation in the blood of Christ. And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? When we take the bread and the wine, we are remembering Christ's death for us in obedience to his command to do this in remembrance of me. The bread and the wine, symbolizing the body and the blood of Christ. And it is a representation of his sacrifice on our behalf. He gave himself as a sacrifice in our place for the forgiveness of our sins. He had no sin. And he became sin for us. And so every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are to remember the meaning and the significance of the death of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Luke 22:19, do this in remembrance of me. And we celebrate the glorious work of salvation that Jesus Christ has accomplished for the lost. But it's not simply that. It's not simply a mental remembering. We are also, it says here, participating in the body and blood of Christ. That word, participating, speaks of a fellowship or communion that we have with Christ. We do not simply look at the bread and the wine as a means of just being reminded of his sacrifice for us. We're not just looking at this tonight. We also, if you are a Christian, saved by Jesus, saved by his sacrifice for you, we also eat and drink these visual symbols that we have. They remain what they've always been. This is just ordinary bread and ordinary wine. But in the context of this time that we have together, what we call a sacrament, they also symbolize Christ's body and blood. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the famous Victorian era preacher, Baptist minister in London, he once said, "We eat not only of his bread, but we symbolically feast upon him." So what's going on? What is this? What's happening here? What is the Lord's Supper? This is a sign, a symbol, a pointer, and it's also a seal, a confirmation, a guarantee that we share in Jesus. It both represents and confirms to us the precious promise of God that through Jesus Christ, he will be our God and we will be his people. Which means that sharing in this meal is literally for any and every Christian from any background, any context, any culture, any Christian that knows that they have a communion, a fellowship, a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship where you know that the death of Jesus has been applied to you. And you're sharing in the benefits of what he's done for you. It's not about you. For too long, we make the communion about, oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm not this, I'm not that. It's not about us. It's not about our strength. It's not about how amazing we've lived life. Actually, it's about you knowing that what saves you is that you get to share and participate in his death. You get to participate in his life. You get to participate in his strength, in his victory, in his love, in his eternity. Don't just remember that tonight. Don't just have that go through your memories. Feast on it tonight. Feast on his love for you. Dwell on it and chew on it and enjoy the truth of it. Let it nourish you. Feast on it. Feed on it. Feast on his promises. Christian, saved by Jesus, take, eat, this is for you. Now, with all of this, Paul is drawing out for the Corinthians that they can't go about their lives with their old, normal, idolatrous way of living. How could they think of having communion with the Lord at the table one day and then having communion with the evil things of this world the next day? When you realize the reality of what it means to share in Jesus, what it means to participate in the work of Christ, because he, through the Holy Spirit, has joined you to his work, has joined you to his death, has joined you into his sacrifice. When you realize the reality of that, change your priorities back to him. They were prioritizing the wrong things, idolatry. Different things were becoming number one in their heart. They had the wrong priorities. When you remember and when you realize the reality of what we're doing here and the reality of what this is confirming to the Christian, what a great opportunity once again to change and mold and shape your priorities back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you eat this bread and whenever you drink this wine, know the depth of the life that you have in Jesus. Know the depth of the victory that you have from the slavery of sin. Join in with Jesus and give thanks to God. Join in with his victory once again tonight. Be refreshed by the reality of what Jesus has. You get to spiritually receive and spiritually feed upon Christ crucified and all the benefits that he has won for you and me. It's all meant to be as real to you spiritually tonight. All those benefits are meant to be as real to you spiritually as this physical bread and wine is as real to your outward senses. This is just bread and wine. It's real to your senses. But the spiritual reality of Jesus is as real to your soul tonight. Eat it up. Drink up those promises. Drink up the reality of what Jesus, of who he is and what he's done for you. If you're here tonight and you don't know yet this communion relationship with Jesus for yourself, if you don't yet share in his death, which, if you did, would mean that your judgment, your guilt, your sin, by his death has been paid for. You're free. If you would trust in Jesus, if you don't yet feast on his benefits and on his promises, and you don't yet know and you can't yet bask in his love for you, then hear this. Flee to Jesus. Flee from idolatry and flee to Jesus and share. I beg you, share in everything he is offering you. Take it. Feast on the spiritual reality of the cross. And next time, if that becomes real for you, the love of Jesus, if that is applied to you, that all your sin has been washed away, and God looks at you, and you are clean, you are family, you are loved, because you are covered in Jesus himself, then next time, have the pleasure of confirming and owning that to yourself, to share in this with others, and being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ by remembering his death and taking this meal with us together. We have one Christ, and let us participate and feast on this Christ. But we do that as one body. That takes me to the next verse, because Paul adds that not only do we enjoy spiritual communion, participation with Christ at the Lord's Supper, but also with all his people who are present. Verse 17, because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. It's a Highland quirk to call the time that we come together to celebrate the Lord's Supper as the communions, plural. Past ministers of here have banged on about the grammatical errors that we constantly make when we call it the communions. Now, I'm sure it's because that there was a tradition of attending other communion services in neighboring congregations. And so therefore there was a communion here, a communion, communions. But there is actually only one communion. The Lord's Supper is a communion with Christ and with his people. And we not only commune with the living God through the grace of these visual symbols and this time that we share together in this, but we commune with one another. When we're united to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are simultaneously brought into a family, brought into a body. We are united to everyone who is themselves united to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, you must discern the body. He's not telling them that they need to understand some mystical thing about the elements of the Lord's Supper. What body is he talking about? It's the body of Christ. It's the church. It's the fellowship of believing people who trust in Jesus. Colossians 1 verse 18 tells us that the body of Christ has one head, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all connected to this head, and without the head, we're dead. We've got nothing. So we're sharing in having him as our head. And the body of Christ, the Bible tells us, is made up of different members and different parts. We're not all the same. We're looking at the 12 people that were chosen to follow Christ. We've looked at Peter. We've looked at Andrew. We looked at James this morning. Very different characters, very different temperaments, very different personalities, very different gifts. We have different gifts, different temperaments, different passions, different cares, different lives, but we share in the same Christ, with the same priority. And it is one and the same worship. It's the same love. It's the same benefits of Jesus. It's the same forgiveness that we all get. It's the same forgiveness that we should be sharing in. It's the same hope, the same future. And when we share in this meal together, as people in communion with Jesus and with each other, we are meant to be united. We are meant to be accountable, discerning the body. We're meant to be loving one another. And whenever we prepare to symbolize this communion as God's people with our one shared Savior, we are meant to care about each other's lives. You do not go about this alone. You do not live your life alone. You are joined to Christ if you're a Christian. And if you're joined to Christ, surprise, surprise, you've got a whole worldwide global family, and part of that family is right here. Sharing in this communion is not only a pledge of our communion with God, it's also a pledge of our communion with each other. So, what is your priority tonight? Ask yourself, am I sharing in what Jesus did for a sinner like me tonight? Am I? Am I there? Am I sharing? Do I get to participate? Has Jesus done this for me? Is he mine? Am I his? If so, I should be showing that both here as we eat together. If you belong to Jesus, you should be here, being obedient by sharing in this together. And if so, if you are someone that belongs to Jesus, you should be gaining strength and confidence for showing that everywhere you go, everywhere else in my life. Am I orientating the priorities of my life so that God is number one? At the end of chapter 10, at the end of this section, he says in verse 31, whatever you do, it all for the glory of God. One God, one Christ, do it all for him. Verse 24, just before that, says, asks the question, am I seeking the good of others? This one body. So maybe I can be taking steps to leave work early. Or I'm not going to go to this thing or that thing that I want to do. So that I can attend that Bible study with a friend. Or I can make my way to that community group. Or I can get to church. I'm taking the steps. I'm making the, we call it sacrifices of the stuff that we want to do. It shouldn't be a sacrifice to gather together with the Lord's people. I'm not going to go out with this person. I'm not going to go out with that person. Because they won't help me share and participate in Jesus. No, I need to run away from all other competing priorities and run to Christ. He's mine. He's ours. With everything he's done for you and me when we trust in him. Finally, we come now to actually celebrating the Lord's Supper. One Christ, one body, and it is one supper that we celebrate, following his command to remember and participate in the Lord's death until he comes again. Those of you who trust in Jesus, who by his grace and mercy get to share in his death and resurrection, then as you eat and drink, reflect, remember, confirm, be sealed into the spiritual truths conveyed here. Rejoice and look to Jesus Christ, who died for sinners like me and you. And as you take the Lord's Supper, look around you too. Look around you. As we are one body together, pray for forgiveness. Seek forgiveness from those in the body of Christ that we have wronged, or that have seek reconciliation with those that have wronged us. Pray for each other. Seek the good of each other. Renew and confirm your pledge to each other and to Christ. Do that actively as you participate in everything Jesus has done for you and me. As we participate in this together, it would be so hypocritical if we are displaying unity and yet snubbing someone who is a brother or sister in Christ, who we are one body with. Remember and own that unity that we have, or that we should have. We all partake, we all share the one loaf. Let's know that. Let's live by that. It's not the Smithton Supper. It's not the Free Church Supper. It's the Lord's Supper. One supper. And as we join together here tonight, and those who take it know that they are confessing that they are united to Jesus and joined together as the body. And if you're a Christian in good standing with your own local church visiting here with us tonight, then you are so welcome to take it with us too. And if you don't yet know, or you don't yet love or serve the Lord Jesus, then we're delighted you're here. But this isn't yet for you. Don't feel embarrassed when the bread and the wine is going around. Just please do pass it along to the next person next to you, or the elder at the end of the row. And one day soon, we hope you'll be able to join with us for this meal. But for now, take the time to consider what it means for you not to join in, not to partake in what all of this means.